six, five, four, three, two. Countdown. Welcome to another episode of the Unrefined Sophisticates Podcast. This is our special edition. So it's going to be a little different than what we normally do, but you guys are used to it at this point. And if you're not, get familiar right quick.
We're back again with another discussion for the Unrefined Sophisticates and Community Energy Project series. And today we have actual CEP employees to give us some of the ins and outs of the Community Energy Project. We have Operations Manager Desiree Price and Program Coordinator Zach Sermosh. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you both doing?
Thank you. Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing well. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for having us. Just appreciate the opportunity to share about what we do.
We're really excited with this entire series because we're learning so much about not just clean energy, not just, you know, upgrades in homes and businesses, but really impacting the community and how climate and energy will affect us, does affect us today, will affect us tomorrow, and who are the most impacted people from inaction or those things. So it's really great. This is one of my favorite things that we get to do. So I won't talk about that. I would like to, how about y'all tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you got into the clean energy sector?
I'll go first, I guess. Well, I come from a background of healthcare. I did. And I just felt like it wasn't fulfilling. I didn't feel like I was touching the community like I wanted to or that I needed to, in a sense, checking in patients or checking their, you know, Blue Shield card versus actually connecting with the client themselves and their needs. So I just, you know, ventured out one day and looked online, and I've been in the nonprofit, you know, industry before, years ago, back in 2014. And I just said, hey, let me see what this is all about, because energy efficiency and the mission statement that CEP had was, you know, it was very intriguing. And it was, you know, basically, no matter the income that you have, we want to serve you. Or it didn't matter if you were, you know, disabled or minority or, you know. So that was very intriguing. So I applied and I got the job. And now that I'm in here, it's like, wow, it's a whole new world of community care that I never even thought about. But that's how I got into it. And I'm happy where I'm at. I feel like, you know, I'm fulfilled now. I feel like I guess what was missing for me is now found. There's so many ways that you can help the community, and this is the one that I choose.
Yes. That is so heavy in the best way. Like, finding your joy and finding your what fulfills you is such a huge thing. So I'm happy for you.
Yes. Yeah, I'm gonna try to. I don't think I'll be able to top that, but I'll. thanks, Des. Yeah, Zach Sermosh here. I am the coordinator for the weatherization program. I've been teaching for a while, so that is kind of my background. When I was like in middle school, I remember teaching other kids tennis who were like older than me, and they were like, why is this guy teaching us? he's younger than us. And I was like, you know, I got hired to do this. Like, and so I just kind of had that skill. And so I was teaching when I was in, you know, in school. So that was my first job was teaching tennis. Then, you know, after college, I started teaching at a rehabilitation center. I was teaching folks how to get sober. And then I started teaching middle school. So that was like, so teaching kids and adults tennis, then teaching adults, you know, life skills, which I didn't really even have myself. So, and then, you know, teaching middle schoolers back to little kids, and now teaching adults again. Like, I've just had a lot of experience on different topics, but I think with this job specifically, like, you know, I studied some environmental studies, I got a degree in environmental sciences from college. And I knew, you know, climate change is what everything my generation is talking about, the generation, you know, after me, younger than me, is talking about. And so it just kind of felt like a beautiful alignment of some of the skills that I have right now, which is sharing information with folks in a way that's, you know, semi, not too boring. And then talking about something that I care about, and, you know, and learning a lot more about in this job, because it's so, like you both have said, and like Des was saying, it's just, you just learn a lot once you're in it.
So let me ask them before we jump for more, because of you saying you got your degree in environmental sciences, like that means there was some type of interest, like before that, at least that's what I'm going to suspect, right? What got you in, like, what was the thing? Was this as a kid, you just figured like, hey, this is what I want to know more about and be doing in life? Was that something that was there, or did that just pop in like, oh, I need to fill out a major, I'll take this?
Like, path of least resistance. No, as long as it's not art history. No, I'm kidding. No, I love art history people. No, it's actually a really funny question. I don't talk about this too much, you know, but that in high school, I vividly remember an earth club in my high school. And I was like, what are those weirdos doing? Like, so I am not this, you know, Greta Thunberg, you know, these kids now that were like, when they were babies, they're coming out, you know, like,
yep,
you know, raging against the fossil fuel companies. That was not me as a kid. That was not me.
What's really funny is you saying, who are those kids? You know, like, who's in Earth Club? I had that same thought in high school. Like, what does that even mean? What are you guys even doing in there?
But I was like, y'all are just looking at plants. Like, I don't want to do that. No. So, but, you know, long story short is that I got to college, and I'll never forget, it was my freshman year. I was just, there was this class. It wasn't even my major. I was like doing finance at the time, or business, what everyone told me I should do. And I just saw this one class came up, and, you know, I think that was, you know, signs from the universe, right? I just took it. It was talking about climate change and, you know, saving the planet. And I was just like, that sounds cool. Why is that? And it just blew open the door to like, oh my gosh, we have a serious problem, very serious problem. And that just led up. That was 8 years ago, and it stuck with me. So it must mean something.
Yes. Cool. Thank you for sharing that. I'm always interested when, you know, hearing people's stories of how they got to this point. And some of the people we've interviewed have definitely been focused on this path since single digits, so yes. It ranges.
Yeah, the only thing I remember about recycling was, you better throw that in the garbage, or don't throw that on the street, or, you know, right, you better turn off the light, off the water faucet.
It was a very much heavy on the individual responsibility, right? Like,
right,
we'll
right.
change the planet as long as you recycle, and then we grow up and learn that those, no.
It's more of a worldly thing.
It's more of a worldly thing. It's more of a collective and industrial thing.
Industrial, right.
Yeah. So we'll get into your individual roles and what they mean in just a second. But if we could first just really quick get a history and maybe, you know, what the work of the Community Energy Project is really kind of broadly about.
Okay, I'll start again since ladies go first. No,
that's been my approach.
You know your role. No,
Des is queen. Des is the queen.
We work well together. That's for
I love
sure.
y'all dynamic. This is so much fun. Thank you for
guy
for being here. This is so great.
Thank you, and again, we are so happy to be here to share what we do, and thank you for giving this platform for us. Appreciate it. So Community Energy Project has so many different services, and we have grown so much over this past year. We have everything from education workshops, cooling workshops, heating workshops, home and energy repairs, from light bulbs to CO, you know, carbon monoxide detectors. We'll change your batteries. We'll put in your air conditioner and take it out for you if, you know, some of us cannot you know, do we don't have the mobility to do those things anymore. We have home energy scores, free consultations with advisors, you know, to give a better approach in making your home upgrades and that best that would fit your needs. Home energy scores are basically giving an idea of the scope of where your home may have leaks, air leaks, drafts, where you can save energy. And it's a little machine that they go in and they kind of do, it does its thing, and it gives a printout of your home. And we like to start off with that so that way we can see what it is that you may need the most of. I mean, like you know, we do like anything from, like I said, light bulbs to even major home repairs, roofs, plumbing, leaks. It just depends on, you know, there's a lot of varieties of things that we can do. Zach, if you want to jump in at any time, because I know there's more. Oh, water heaters.
What I just learned, I met someone that worked at Community Energy Project like 10 years ago. I'm actually house sitting for them like this weekend. I'm house sitting for them. And like, we had this really funny conversation. She's like, are you still giving those workshops to people like at schools with like all the kids running around? And I'm like, yeah, I did that like last week. She's like, I did that like 10 years ago. So like, Community Energy Project has been like doing, not the same thing, that's wrong, but like has had the same mission for 40 years. I mean, I think we were started like after the energy crisis in the 70s from like an AmeriCorps program or like a Peace Corps, but like a domestic Peace Corps program almost. It was called VISTA. And like, it was like literally people just volunteering to help like put caulk and plastic over people's windows and in people's like cracks of their homes.
Window kits.
Like the most basic weatherization stuff just to try to reduce people's energy bills, because at the time, you know, everyone's complaining like, oh my gosh, all this oil that we're shipping in, or you know, our bills are going up at the time then. So like, this has been the case, you know, since day one, but our programs have expanded and the nonprofit itself has gone in waves. I mean, I was talking to one of our coworkers, Rock, right? He was saying even just 6 years ago, there was eight people on our team. They were knocking on doors because, you know, trying to get houses because nobody really, you know, we had gone into this little slump and people didn't really know us. And now, you know, 5 years later, we have 25 people, you know, millions of dollars coming into our, you know, to our nonprofit to do all these programs, hire new people and, you know, serve hundreds of more families. So it's like we've kind of gone through these waves, but the mission has always been the same and the stories are hilarious from the years, you know, back of going back, talking to people at schools in their front yard, you know, bringing them to the office and, you know, we're on the phone and just being like, how can we help you out?
And that's what's so impacting is our education, our workshops. I mean, people are not educated. Me being one, I'm still learning. I've been with Community Energy Project. I'll be there, I think, going on 4 years, but I'm still learning so much. Even I've just recently bought my own house through Proud Ground last year. Hey, thank you. And so now I have thank you. It's such a big responsibility. And thank God I had energy efficient windows. I was like, what was that back then? You know, just having a screen on our window, we were thinking we were keeping things out. Now it's like people have drafts under their doors and they're cold, you know, a simple door sweep or what is it, a pipe sometimes, Zach, that we can put underneath their door.
Yeah, pipe insulation.
And foam. The foam. And I mean, it's just simple, simple things, but that people don't know. And so I think our education workshops, they help so much. And just, just educating people. We don't know what we need until we need it.
And we can so easily think that those kind of projects are sort of insurmountable. Like if you, you know, don't know really anything about how to make to fix, you know, a window leak or or the door jam, you just think it means money, money, money. So it's like, I'll get to it. I'll get, you know, or you try and come up with your own little fix or whatever it is. And so, no, you know, being able to go to a workshop like that is a humongous game changer for even if you don't own your home. You know, if you're renting and you're if you pay bills, you're going to want to know how to decrease your energy.
And mind you, these services are free through Community Energy Project.
Humongous. Triple underline that. Yeah, I like the underline.
So in the space of talking about those services, what are some of the services, like specifically, I know you mentioned a few things, but what are some of the services that the in-home team, in-homes team provide, and how do they improve energy efficiency?
For the in-homes team, we do like, let me just give you an example, maybe from A through Z. I'll do the intake for the client. You know, we do, it is based on income.
Okay.
It's based on income, their address, depending on where they're at in the Portland area. There is, we service Lentz area, an interstate area, and CBGB, which I have to look it up because I always get it wrong. It is the City Development Block Grant area. That's what it's called, I believe. Yeah. Oh. City Community Development Block Grant. And that's called CBGB. Yeah. So we service and Lentz area and interstate area. So we are wishing and hoping one day to reach out to a broader community, but right now it's just Portland area. And the way that the in-homes works is we work under Portland Housing Bureau. And that's where we get our funding from. And so following their guidelines, we go through Portland Maps and we put in the address there to see what area that home falls under. From there, it's, you know, based on, like I said, your address. And it's a little bit more complex than that. That's why I'm explaining it. So people out there know, oh, it's all of Portland. No, it's not. And it's, you know, a certain area and we have to follow certain guidelines. You know, because of the funding that we get from a certain source. And thank you, Portland Housing Bureau. Just want to give a shout out.
Hey.
And thank you. And so it's based on your income, and there's the HUD guidelines, HUD limits through the Portland Housing Bureau, and those are on our website. And the Portland Housing Bureau website as well. And so, and it's based on how many people you have in your home. So that's the first step to get qualified. We do not ask for your check stubs, your pay stubs. It's easy. That's why Community Energy Project is so different.
Well, and I think, you know, to kind of some of your question, Ken is asking like, what happens inside the home, right? Is, you know, Des is talking about this, you know, great process that we have to just kind of engage with the community. But, you know, at the end of the day is when we get in there, we have free audits. So, you know, a person shows up at your door, calls you, talks to you on the phone, you know, a person that's qualified, certified, you know, kind, you know, knowledgeable, trained, all these things. They show up, knock on your door. They, you know, come in for an hour, look at your house, ask you questions. What's going on? You know, what's going on in your home? That audit happens. And Des, maybe you want to pick up from where I'm talking, you know, is once the auditor goes in there, what do they, you know, what do they do next? And then how does that, you know, get to those energy efficiency measures?
Yes. Sorry about that. Thank you, Zach. From there, we, you know, once you're qualified and there's there's no one that has come to us that hasn't been qualified. Maybe one every couple years. And it's exciting to see, honestly. So I don't like turning down anyone. And if they don't qualify for our program, I will connect them with other programs within our umbrella or other resources. Yes. But from there, we send out an auditor. They come to your home. Takes about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. They'll get a scope of work and they'll see exactly what we can and cannot do. And they will let you know what we can and cannot do based on the income that, or based on the funding we have per home that's split out between that area or that zone. And we can, depending on the area. Now with CDGB, we service about 90 clients. Lentz 55, Interstate 55. So that being said, we service more on CDGB, so the funding is spread out a little bit thinner. Mm. But we also don't do major home repairs for CDGB. Oh. We're hoping that some of our other programs through PCEF, Portland Clean Energy Funding, we do major home repairs, and we have more funding in that area. But for just the in-homes, for this portion of weatherization and small home repairs, we also we do some major home repairs in Lentz and Interstate, and that can be anything from roofs, water heaters, thermostats, furnace maintenance, not furnaces yet. They're so expensive. But you know, we get a lot of those. We want to know what the community needs so we can ask for more funding for those services. Furnaces is just not one of them. They're so expensive, and there's so many small needs that homeowners need that they'll choose which ones they prefer over the others. Cause if you're just going to get one major home repair, or you're going to get all these little small ones.
Yeah.
And it could be anything from, patching a hole in the wall, storm doors, window kits, just there's a variety, of different work that we do from, like, you know, like I said, from energy efficient light bulbs, to cleaning gutters, which don't cost nothing. Mm-hmm. So once our auditor is out there, and he's out there for 20 minutes getting a good scope of work for our technicians, which that are hired under us, Community Energy Project hourly, they're like maintenance crew. Like if you were lived in apartments, you needed maintenance. So they're not specialized in certain areas. But they can do dry walls. They can do, oh my goodness, even for like safety measures, grab bars in the bathroom, small ramps. We could build small ramps for wheelchair access, depending, you know, if the coating on your home is okay and if everything falls in place and we can afford it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that we can do. I can go on.
Yeah, this is dope seeing like just the range, right?
Yes.
The things you've dropped so far, it's given us a wide range outside of, you know, the idea of like just the light bulbs or a weather strip, but knowing that there's essentially from A to Z, I mean, outside of furnaces, because those are
expensive. Yeah. Now, I know PCEF, PCEF, Portland Clean Energy Funding, who we get millions of dollars from, and the homes that we do for them, you know, I think it was like 20 homes, but I don't know exactly if we've replaced a furnace, but I can't see why we wouldn't have. We do major HVAC systems in those projects.
Okay.
So yeah. we need another furnace sponsor is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. And that program does fall under the in-homes as well. That program does fall under the in-homes, but that's Giovanni's area and Jeff's area.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to add in, Ken, your question was also a little bit about energy efficiency. And I just want to remind folks that are, you know, might be listening to this, like, you know, energy efficiency means reduction in your costs, right? So, or the energy that you don't use, what you paying the same amount, right? So the energy that you're not using, let you know, or the energy that you use less than what you used before. That is, your systems are working better than they were in the past because of what we've done. Right? Or your home is working better than it has in the past because of what we've done. So what, you know, Des is talking about is these PHB funds that are in these different areas, they could be like $1,000 that we have to go into their home. So it's not a huge amount, right? The PSEF funds is about $40,000 per home. That's why it's only 30 or 40 homes that are getting this massive, what is called a deep energy retrofit, where a furnace can be replaced. Solar panels can be put on your roof. Insulation in your attic and your basement can be happening. These are things that are bringing down your costs of your home energy by 30, 40%. Sometimes. Yeah. So if you're, what's your electricity bill every month?
Every month, I'm hovering right under $100.
$100, right? Yeah. So for the year, that's $1,200.
Yeah.
Right? 30% less, you're saving like $300, right? So, we were to do every year or per month, that's $30 every single month, right? So these are the energy efficiency is when you have your same home. You have, you know, the same systems. You're still turning on your thermostat. You're still opening and closing your door. You're still opening your windows, but your home is just working better for you, and it's healthier for you because of what we've done. And what Des is talking about is some of those areas don't get as much money, so they're not getting as much of the savings, right? But that's just because that funding is a little bit less. But we can do more homes. You know, in CDBG, we can do 90 homes versus just 50. You know, ideally, we get to a place where we're doing more than that, you know, every year. But that's kind of that point on why are people doing energy efficiency in their homes? It's, you know, save money on their bills. It's good for climate change. It's good for their home health. Like, there's a lot of benefits that I can kind of touch on later.
So I have one. Go ahead.
I was going to say on that subject of saving on bills under the in homes. Zach, that's your more your area, the solar and all that, and saving on bills and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say two things off of that. One, me personally, the way that I'm energy efficient is hoodies in the winter, shorts Let's in the go. Summer.
But also wrap up. You gotta wrap up.
But the energy efficiency equals money you don't pay. Like, let's go ahead and start something. I feel like that's a slogan right there that would catch on. We should go ahead, collaborate on a trademark and put that out there. That could match recycle, reduce, reuse.
Energy efficiency. You not pay.
Well, in that vein, Zach, would you talk to us about like weatherization projects, or how important weatherization projects are in clean energy goals and the basic upkeep of a home or building?
You know, it's an important question. I want to just preface this with I've never owned a home before. Mm-hmm. I lived in a home. I was very privileged to live in a nice home that had AC. I'm from Vegas, so I moved here and there was no such thing as AC. But I thought it was normal. I thought everyone had AC, and you know, I didn't pay the bill, so the AC was on. It was cool in my house. I didn't know how much it cost. Yeah. You know, to do that. This job and what you know, your question, Ken, is just like, you know, why is this so important now that I've seen, and Des and I see this every single day, is people are not comfortable in their home. People's bills are really high. People's health is being impacted. Their kids are breathing in, you know, possibly toxic, you know, or air pollution or possibly toxic natural gas because of their
lead
because of the paint in their old home. Mm-hmm. You know, so when we do weatherization projects, you know, people don't realize just the opportunity for social benefit, the opportunity for generational benefits and community benefits. I mean, I was looking at the numbers, you know, Ken, I was just talking about like 30% heating costs. You know, so let's say $300 a year, the average personal save, that goes up to 400 or 500 with the Inflation Reduction Act that you were talking about, Morgan. That's not even talking about like electric vehicles or solar. That's just like on weatherization and home comfort. But then, you know, with the health benefits, I saw a number of $500 a year people can save on their health costs if they're breathing cleaner air, if they're more comfortable, you know, then you can talk about like missed days of school for your kids or missed days of work as an employee. You know, I've lived in a, last summer, my apartment, I had no AC. My apartment got to 95 degrees. I had to take the day off of work.
Yeah, you can't work in that.
No, you can't work.
And I was,
no, you can't work.
You actually come into the office more so than you are at home.
Yes.
I know. I was like, maybe I sleep here tonight. Yes. I take message my boss. Can I bring my pillow in? Right.
I have lived exactly that life. Like it actually would be better if I just slept here, right? Yeah. Like going home sounds awful.
No. You know, so there's some real, real impacts in livability, in equity, in comfort, and just outcomes for each and up individually. And so it's, weatherization is very, very important. That's why billions of dollars are coming towards it.
Wow, you just segue king, because that was perfect. Because our next question is about the job creation that this industry sort of, you know, fosters. And we've talked to an array of folks in this industry. Mm-hmm. And from here, it looks like a lot of opportunity for new careers. It looks like Desiree was like, I didn't know that I was going to be in this, but here I am. And now this is where I'm finding fulfillment. Mm-hmm. It seems like, you know, I remember asking somebody, why aren't there solar barons like there are oil mm-hmm. barons? You know, like people are really reluctant to be a part of green and clean energy. And to me, it seems like there's so many jobs.
There might be, Morgan. Oh, see. There might be solar barons out there.
Or you might have just sparked a thought.
Yeah. Someone listening would be like, that's my new thing. It's like, oh, come on.
I've just been looking at like the reluctance, right? And the people that are like, oh, you know, climate change is fake or whatever it is that they believe. And this seems like a new frontier kind of thing. Like there's so many opportunities. And so if either of you could sort of speak to those, you know, job creation implications and like, is the public even aware of those?
Well, I can speak on community energy project. Solar is very new to CEP. It's very new to community energy project. I didn't even, I mean, you know, Zach probably go into more depth about what this our solar program is and, you know, how it can really help our community, you know, save on energy bills. You don't have to have the solar panel itself. You can live in an apartment and have and get the incentives. But as far as job creation for community energy projects, since I've been here longer than Zach, we did start off with 8 people. You know, now we're up to, I don't know. I wanted to say 16, but I think we went over 20, the double.
I think we're over 20. That staff meeting we had the other day, there were a lot of burritos out.
Well, like counting employees by burrito. I like that.
Yeah. You get a burrito.
Yeah, we have, I want to say within the past 12 months or let's say 16 months, we have about 12 new people or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how much that just shows you how much people are interested in energy efficiency and how it's just growing. It's just growing and growing. And if it's not one thing, it's another. It went from water heaters to thermostats to solar. I mean, I'm like, what else can we do? Besides furnaces. we still need furnaces. Is there a furnace program out there?
We're going to find that sponsor.
I mean, for furnaces.
This is the start. Planted the seed now.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just one place, you know, and so.
I saw a number, Des, and I hope it's okay. I can jump in just a moment.
Oh, yeah.
I saw 500,000 job installation jobs needed just for weatherization, 500,000 jobs, you know, so that what you're talking about, Morgan, right? That's PCC, I was just taking classes at PCC. I stopped recently, but PCC is building a whole new center up in Cully, North Portland.
Right.
They're building a whole new thing that's going to be like manufacturing prep jobs. Like it's kind of, yeah. I mean, there's going to be so many jobs that are needed. Des gave a great example of us, and we're just a small nonprofit, but you know,
I mean,
installation jobs, developers, you know,
that kind of growth. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just trying to add that. It's that kind of growth is exactly what I'm speaking to, in that there's, I mean, 500,000 jobs is something to talk about, you know, that's a lot of changing people's lives. And it's my understanding, it's not like you're getting paid total pennies to be able to do this kind of work. So the more, I don't know, certifications and classes and all of those things that you take and become more qualified, the more money you can make. It just seems like there's opportunity and there's that piece doesn't get talked about as much as, like, you know, any somebody running for government positions are going to tell you that they're going to create jobs. They don't talk about that piece when it comes to like green energy. And it seems like a huge missed opportunity to me, because
I think they do talk about it a little bit, but what's very important is that, you know, it's the jobs are going to the people who need them, and the jobs are going to people who have been, you know, traditionally left out of, you know, generational wealth building opportunities, which comes from a good job. But like what, you know, is really important, if you see in the Inflation Reduction Act and a lot in PSEF and a lot of these other funders, is they're requiring prevailing wage jobs, you know, so these are jobs that, you know, are going to pay $20 an hour, you know, maybe more than that. You know, CP is a great example. You know, whether I don't know if I can probably share this, you know, with, you know, Jet broadly, but we all got raises, you know, with new funding coming in, you know. And so like, just, and there are organizations in Portland, this is why I love Portland very much. And I'll kind of end with this, is that, like, you know, there are organizations like Constructing Hope. There's organizations like, you know, NIA and PCC, and there's more that I could even, you know, bring up, that are just like helping people who don't usually get those jobs because they don't look like me, you know, just like a young white guy, you know, that, like, it's all people deserve to learn and be a part of this next generation of energy, of jobs, of economy, of, you know, lifestyles. And, you know, I think that prevailing wage piece is really interesting. You all were talking to Knowledge Murphy the other day, and he was like, you know, unions are good and bad. I can't get into that, but, like, right. But he was definitely talking about, like, you know, good paying jobs is very key. Yes.
Very key. Speaking about the Inflation Reduction Act, this is currently being hailed as the most significant climate change legislation in US history. And I love context. I don't know how many climate change legislations there, you know, have happened. So I don't know if this is as big as that sounds, because that sounds huge, right? And I don't know if it's that as huge, but does that new legislation impact programs like yours that are getting, you know, funding through HUD and those things, where, like, will this help?
I can take this, Des, or give it a shot.
I'm not a policy
analyst. Like, Zach, help me out. I know you're going to help me on the next one.
I got you.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's like, it's $400 billion, right? That's the like final number that's going to like climate change investments. Can y'all hear me, or am I going out?
No, we hear you great.
Yeah, okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, like $400 billion. The Obama passed a $90 billion, you know, act in 2009. That was like one. And then I think Clinton passed one in the 90s. I don't even know if that was billions of dollars or at all. But yeah, I mean, when it says the most major climate investment that the U.S. has ever made, I tend to believe that from all of the people that I talk to and the things that I read. And, you know, your question, will it help programs like ours? I mean, one of the goals is to, you know, get a million low income and middle income family households to zero, you know, emissions, 1 million, you know, that is a significant amount. And we are doing that. We are helping get families to zero emissions, you know, who would otherwise not be able to. There's, I mean, I saw something too that like, there's an opportunity for a low-income or middle-income family, or low, definitely a low-income family, to get like as much as $14,000 off on the electrification of their home. You know, wow. This, that before it was like $500,
yeah,
$1,200. You know, and one new furnace like Des is talking about can cost $8,000. Not to mention if you have the electricity panel that can handle it. Or if you have insulation that you might need, you have wires that aren't, you know, working, you know, you have leaks in your home or mold. So like these are, that's why the PISA fund was first of its kind in the nation, because it was like, we're going to take the whole home, give it $40,000, which is what it needs, and fix it all up. You know, these are the types of, this is the type of money that's needed. So the government giving a tax credit for $500 to like put some, a window kit on your window, it's like, What half the people we serve don't even file taxes,
you right? Know, so
I didn't file taxes until this year. Like, I didn't know how to do it.
Like, I'm getting so, there. I'm getting there.
I didn't have enough money to do it. It was like $10,000, you know, cutoff, and I was like, I didn't even make it there. So you know, so it's like, so these upfront rebates where it's like someone's like, what do I have to do? And programs like ours are like, we'll do it for you. We just needed the money. Now we have the money.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it does say the Inflation Reduction Act signed to President Joe Biden into law on Tuesday will pour roughly $370 billion into energy security.
Yep.
So, I mean, I just Googled that. But that's a start.
Right.
It is. Yep. It is, for sure.
Well, we in the vein of talking money, you know, where do you think that funding is most needed in the clean energy sector? And what's needed to ensure that the funding doesn't leave Black and brown people out, which is what we've traditionally seen?
Mm. Well, starting with Community Energy Project.
Hey.
You know, because we are so diverse, you know, we try to reach mainly the Black community, mm-hmm. minority community, seniors, veterans, disabilities, low income. That's our mission. So as long as we're around, that won't go, that won't slide to the wayside.
Okay.
Now, Zach, can you help me here? Because I don't know how we one entity here in Portland would be able to do that on our own in the community, but there are many, many other nonprofits doing and striving for the same thing as well. We want our Black homeowners and all homeowners to be able to stay in their home.
Right.
You know, that's our plan. We want them to be able to, you know, their families to inherit it, you know, and stay in the community, to not leave. To upgrade their home, you know, in a way that they do feel safe. And, you know, warm and cool in the summer.
One of the things that I think about a lot of times, and especially, you know, because we ask kind of this question a lot, and I think that a lot of the funding would, in my mind, make sense outside of the services and things that are provided. It seems like the education part. Marketing, also getting it in front of the people, because you know a lot of these conversations that we're having, it's makes sense for this just to be in the face for people, because there's a lot of conversations around this where when we talk anything that has to do with green energy efficiency, the most that people can tell you about is a light bulb, and that's typically where we get to in that space. That's where the knowledge kind of stops, unless you're a homeowner already, right? And we think about, there's people who want to get into and know that they can't buy something that was built this year, last year, so they're going to be having to move into an older setup and kind of taking on that idea in terms of, I want to buy a house, but now I don't think I can because it's going to be this much to get this thing updated and to a place where, yeah, it's just current. And I think that knowing what is out there in terms of services that can help kind of build these places that for the already homeowners and the people looking to become homeowners would be very, very important. But again, that's my take, and I don't know why I dumped that into the mix because I'm not on the interview. But
no, that's right. I mean, I can't believe I forgot
education. That's the key. Like. Go ahead, Zach. That's your area.
No, I can't believe I forgot to mention African American Alliance of Homeownership. Like, you know, they are, you know, proud ground, like Dez was talking about. That yes. You're, you know, Ken, you're absolutely right. Like, these organizations that have people that look like them that are already doing it, you know, those are, you know, I go into spaces, right, into a lot of community minority spaces, right, and I'm trying to teach things, but, you know, they might not want to hear from me, you know, which I totally understand, and I want to be mindful, and I try to be as mindful and respectful as possible, but I was talking to this person that I was telling you about who, like, worked at Community Energy Project, like, 10, 15 years ago,
yeah.
You know, there was another person that she would teach who happened to be, like, a Black woman who would, like, teach some of the workshops for her. And like she would get paid for that, you know, that opportunity, but that was her space. So, and where I'm getting to with this is what you're talking, where does the funding go? I think a lot of the funding, which it's starting to is, and I'm stealing this from, I don't take credit for this, from other environmental justice advocates, but it's funding to get those organizations like NIA, like Proud Ground, like Constructing Hope into leading positions yeah. in these decision-making tables. So it's when you see someone from or someone from Verde or someone from CEP making decisions about where millions of dollars are going. That's what PSEF is. That is a minority led group.
Yes.
Moving $100 million to places that it needs to go. That is where the funding and that's what the requirement that we need is that it's not just white people telling, you know, everyone where things need to go. We've done that. We've done that. And look how that's gone. Look how that's been working out. Like, not at all. You know, let's change up the leadership, you know, and that's yeah. so
project. Let me tell you, the leader that we have over CEP is a strong Southern white woman. Let me tell you, she does not play. And she does get her voice out there. She will speak to you. You will love her at the end of the day. She is amazing when it comes to she loves us people. She loves us people. She loves people, you know, and for her to be a huge advocate for our community, I am the community.
Yeah.
So preach, woman. I'd be like, go ahead, Charity. But then she's like, hold on. They might want to see you instead, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the truth of the matter. And it's sad sometimes that it's come to that, but it's the reality.
Yeah.
And like Zach said, not everybody is used to, you know, oh, here's this white kid. He's coming in trying to teach us some things, whatever. But I just want to tell the community, if you're listening, give us a chance. You know, no matter our race, our nationality, our age, if we're disabled, if we're senior, veteran, the same love that Community Energy puts out into the people, we just want that back. Give us a chance. And, you know, especially to my African-American people out there, there are some good people out there, no matter, you know, what they look like. You know, let us in your home. Sometimes, you know, people are afraid. We know that COVID is coming and going in waves already. So we're already on standby. But yeah, there's a lot of love out there, all love, you know, so especially with the community of the nonprofits, we all stick together. And I work, yeah. And so we're really connected, and I love that. And us as a whole in Community Energy Project, we're a family. And so, you know, we just want, you know, other people to feel as comfortable as we do. I know it's going to take time, but we got to start somewhere.
I think you said something in there, like kind of just the community apprehension, which I think some of that comes with, you know, the information that's out there that's crazy skewed. We get talk, you know, misinformation, disinformation, all of those things. In the work that you all do, what are some of the biggest misconceptions about clean energy that you come across from community members? And are you able, or have you done work to try to clear some of those things up?
I'll go, or Des, do you want to go first?
No, you go ahead. I'm going to, let me ponder on this one for a minute.
Okay. Okay. I'll give you, just my experience working, with communities, right? I'm the weatherization workshop coordinator. I gave in the last, 9 months, I've given 150 workshops to over like 600 families, right? So I've talked to about 600 different families in the last 9 months. And you know, everyone is talking about their bills are going up and they're uncomfortable. That's it. And what's really scary is the summer is why, you know, and people in multifamily housing, people in old homes, they are just burning up and they don't know what to do about it. Right. They don't know. They can't afford a $700 AC unit, you know, $800 AC unit. They can't install something. If they're a renter, they don't really have that much control. So people are just really like, you know, kind of at a loss. And I think, you know, what I try to tell folks, especially about reducing their bills, I think a misconception is that they can't participate in renewable energy. And that is why the community solar program is like the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I truly believe that it is completely free for it. For if you are income qualified, it is completely free to sign up. You save money on your bill every year, on your bills every year. Some months are higher than others, obviously in the summer when there's more solar coming in, but people I get calls every single day. I kid you not, every single day. And this is not even my program, but somehow they get to my number. I'm like, I'll take it.
The drunk dialing, you know, going in the phone tree.
At 2 p.m., Morgan?
It happened.
And I'm like, how'd you get my number? But like, I'll talk to you, let's go. And they're like, you know, I can't put solar on my roof. What is this free program? I'm like, the solar's not on your roof. You get aggregated, you get combined with hundreds of other renters like me. I'm a renter. I am grouped with all these other renters or people in homes that can't provide solar. And you get signed up to this project, this big project that gives electricity to hundreds of people. And it's all for a lower cost than so this is this idea of this community solar, which this bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, is funding projects like that. Then, you know, they're going to be happening more. And so, you know, a lot of people, the misconception is, you know, another thing too, I can't take credit for this. This last thing I'll say on this is my supervisor, like, championed this, is that low-income folks are environmentalists. Ken, you were talking about, right? Like, I just wear my sweater, right? You know, I just wear, low-income folks, myself included, I can make my bill pretty low if I really tried.
Right.
You know, you know, people are doing that every single day. They're recycling on their own. They're making things work. They're, you know, finding creative ways to save money and stay comfortable for their families, right? Making it work.
Yeah.
And so my supervisor always says this, that low income folks are the best environmentalists out there in the world. Mm. They have the lowest carbon footprint, right? They have the most care. Mm. And it's true. Everyone we're talking to, they want to participate. They want to be involved, but they just need a little help to get there. And that's why these workshops are so important, is because we go out to the community. We say, you can sign up for this. You can't, by the way, we just got funding for free AC units. Call them, get on the wait list. You know, they're coming out. You know, we give people box fans for free. You know, it's something small, but it's life-saving. Then we sign people up for a bill discount program. So, you know, these laws and these environmental justice advocates out there are making things easier. And so we need to put our, you know, money and time behind those things that are just really working. So, and CEP is one of those projects that's just really working. And I'm not biased.
This has been so incredible, and we're gonna wrap it up. But we have two questions left. First. Mm-hmm. What brings you the most joy working in this field? And Desiree, we'll let you go first.
Well, like I said in the beginning, it fills my heart with joy to see and to hear the community, you know, reach out to me and say thank you so much for putting my air conditioner in. Thank you so much for, not to me personally, but I get some feedback from the community and homeowners that are just so thankful for the little things that we all take for granted. Just some people don't have their any siblings or children that can help them with these little things, putting in a light bulb, just a simple light bulb, changing the light bulb, changing the battery in the smoke detector, cleaning their gutters. People can't get on top of their roofs to do these things. It's just, they're so grateful. And I'm real big crybaby, so I ain't gonna keep elaborating on it too long, but I am the crybaby at CEP, and I'm also like the motherly one too. But it makes me feel so good to see someone so happy and just so elated over just the small things, you know, that they've been really needing done. And for it to finally get done, they could have been waiting years for a grab bar in their bathroom so they can get out the shower, or the toilet seat lifted up so they don't have to, you know, pull themselves up, you know, or, you know, a walk-in shower, something, you know,
on the toilet.
So, I mean, what I take from them is just it brings my heart joy to see how happy they are and how grateful they are. And it's like, wow, some people just take that for granted, you know. And I don't know what else to say.
That's perfect.
I think you captured it.
And I feel fulfilled. I mean, you know, I was looking for a change in the healthcare field, and I'm here, and I love my job. I could see myself retiring here, you know. So that says, you know, wonders. Oh, yeah.
Zach, you got to break out in full tears. You know?
Zach, you have to cry or you have to sing, one of the two.
Let me pour some water in my eyes. No, it'll happen. It might happen.
Yeah, no. Zach seen it.
I totally agree, Dez, and it was just really beautifully said. You know, there's so many thank yous. I mean, the fact of the matter is, there's some tough people we talk to, right? People we meet up in crisis. You know, like that's the nature of our work. Like there's some people in crisis mode and it's not easy. You know, I think when I see comments like on our surveys, when it's like some families, like the fans that you gave me kept my kid's bedroom cool, you know, they were really, and so like, I think what really grounds me in this work and brings me a lot of joy is that, we're just really helping people. I like doing stuff for free. I think like why can't more things be free out here? Like, right. You know, like, come on, man. Like why do we got to pay so much for everything? Like, I love doing free stuff, you know? And because that's just fair. It's a human right to be comfortable in your home. Right. It's a human, like, and, you know, for real, like we're just trying to give these people the basic human rights. Like that's all. And so I love doing this stuff for free. And then the last thing I'll say is, what is shocking, I've never had this experience before in my life, is that every person I tell about my job, and here might be the tears, Morgan, so just you wait, everyone after I say what I do, and I've got it nailed down, but I've got my line, and people are just like, they're like, what do you do? I go, reduce low income families' energy bills and energy burden. They're just like, oh my, like, oh my God. Yes. And I'm just like,
the real one.
I guess we just do it. We do the thing.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's really inspirational to hear where you guys both get your joy from, because it's community. You get your joy from helping other people and not, you know, profiting off of those people. And that, I mean, I literally have goosebumps right now. That is the kind of thing that just gives me joy. Knowing that the right people are in the right positions, right? Because there could be a lot of people that don't know how to speak to the community that are in these positions. And I want to learn everything from Zach. So I mean, like, you know what I mean? I want him to come and teach us everything because of just the dynamic. So the right people in the right positions. Do you guys have any final words that you want to impart on our listeners, whether it's a, you know, where to go to get more information on CEP or energy as a whole, or anything you just want to say?
Yeah, my final words would be spread the word. Spread the word. Just, you know, share with somebody what you've heard tonight. Tell your neighbor, tell your friend, tell somebody at work. Just share, even if it's not Community Energy Project, there's other nonprofits out there doing it. And we're all partners. We're all in it together. Just spread the word. Like, if you see your neighbor or an elderly neighbor or someone that, you know, they may need help, like their gutters, or if they're in the Portland area, just say, hey, you know, have you heard of Community Energy Project? Or just, you know, that's important to me is if we don't know that the services aren't out there, then everybody's stuck in limbo. So I just would just encourage everybody just to share the word, spread the word. And Community Energy Project, go to the website. It's communityenergyproject.org. All right. And just look at our services. Reach out to us. I usually get most of the emails. I respond within a couple days. We return phone calls within a day or two. We try to. I know we get a lot of people coming in as voicemails. You can be serviced every year if you are put on the wait list. There's a wait list that we used to close it every year, but now we don't. We leave it open. So, you know, and if you've been served several times in 1 year, we may give other people opportunities that have not been served. So just spread the word. Check us out.
Zach, you got anything?
Just thank you both so much again. And Morgan, thank you for your kind words. You know, at the end there, yeah, Des and I we're good. I think I like to think of us as good people. I know Des is good people for sure. Aww. That's pretty obvious. Just a wonderful woman and mom and family member. But, you know, I think the spread the word is totally beautiful. And the people that need help, you know, we're out here. You know, we're here. The people that are trying really hard every single day, who are waking up, and, you know, we deal with our own stuff. You know, I deal with my own stuff. But like at the end of the day, I know that when I'm feeling really good, or I'm feeling good, or I'm just at work, you know, putting my mind to something, I'm going to be helping a lot of people, you know. So and there are many people like me doing way more than what I do at our organization and around Portland. So, you know, folks that need food, folks that need energy utility assistance, folks that need a cooling center, folks that need housing, you know, resources, childcare resources, like you call 211 or you call the organization, you just do a Google search, who's doing this in Portland or in, you know, Oregon. I guarantee you there are a lot of people. We live in I do believe that we live in a beautiful place, and there are beautiful people, you know, really trying hard. So just really thank you for giving us the opportunity to share what we do here today. And I just can't wait to help the next person. So and appreciate you both.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you both. This has been a great one. Definitely enjoy this dynamic. That don't mean our dynamic changes.
You two have a good dynamic.
Thank you again. Thank you so much.
We tried. This is who we are.
But yeah, I appreciate it. And I know our listeners is going to really, or have up to this point, enjoyed this whole thing. And being out in the community, hopefully we cross paths at some point out here. Yes. Trying to push these good things forward. So, with that, our listeners, you know what time it is.
It's checkout time. Gotta go. Gotta go. Yeah, man. It's checkout time. Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go. Hey, come on, man. Get your bags, man. Call that mail. I'm fucking on the car. Hit it, shaking it.